I was thinking about these lyrics, "Come rejoice now, O my soul, for his love is my reward. Fear is gone and hope is sure. Christ is mine forevermore." And it struck me. I hope that for each person in this room that is true. And I hope for you tonight, if that's not true of you right now, that God might move in your heart by his Holy Spirit and make it so. So I'm just going to pray before we get into his word. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for the breath in our lungs, which belongs to you. Lord, I thank you for your word, that you have preserved it for us. Thank you that it is your word. And I ask that tonight you will open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts and minds to understand what you are saying to us. Lord, don't let us sit through another word from your throne and not be changed. We know that only you can do it, so we ask that you would change us by your Spirit. And we ask it in the name of Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. Amen. So I'm excited tonight to open God's Word with you, to think about our series on the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. Prior to camp, if you guys can remember back that far, probably not. You're like, school's finished, you know, day's over, brain's turned off. But probably like 4 weeks ago, Andrew kicked us off, speaking about how the Spirit is the power within us, how he empowers us to proclaim Christ boldly as his witnesses and to love as Christ loved. And tonight, as we carry on in our series, we're going to think about the relationship between God, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible, the Word of God. And why are we going to do this? That's a good question, eh? Out of everything we can talk about, why talk about this? Well, if you ever find yourself speaking to other Christians, as I often do, then you'll notice that they tend to go to one of two extremes when it comes to the Holy Spirit. On the one hand, you get those who chase after experience in the Holy Spirit, and they do so to the neglect of the Bible. It seems like they only ever listen for voices in their hearts or seek signs from God in the heavens. But when it comes to his word, their overall tone towards it is quite indifferent, and their interaction with it is minimal. And on the other hand, you get those who seek to obey and know the Word of God, the Bible, yet they live as though the Holy Spirit isn't truly a person who is with them and for them day by day. These believers know who the Spirit is, but they live basically as though he doesn't exist. Or at least in a way that communicates he really doesn't do anything of significant value. They might know he produces spiritual fruit in them and that he's essential for their growth in the Lord, but they have no interaction with him. Now, as a result of these two extremes, there can easily be a great divide within Christian circles when it comes to the Holy Spirit. We seemingly either overemphasize the Holy Spirit to the neglect of the Bible, or we overemphasize the Bible to the neglect of the Holy Spirit. I say seemingly because in reality we're not even rightly emphasizing the Holy Spirit if we neglect the Bible, and we're not even rightly emphasizing the Bible if we neglect the Holy Spirit. When we have a faulty understanding of this relationship between the Spirit and the Word, it makes us susceptible to unintentionally distorting or twisting God's Word. It also makes us prone to wrongly relate to God as well. Because we easily and unknowingly slip into all sorts of error when we don't understand this relationship correctly. And so I hope and pray tonight that the Lord will open our eyes to see any wrong understandings that we have about this relationship between His Spirit and His Word, and that He would lead us in the way everlasting. And so the first approach I mentioned, to seemingly overemphasize the Spirit while neglecting the Word, is not only foolish, but it's dangerous. And why? Because without gaining an understanding of who the Spirit is and what He does from the Bible, we can't even discern His working in our lives. Not only this, but when we think this way, we get lulled into spiritual pride. Because instead of God, through His Word, being the authority in our lives, we are the authority. How so? Well, everything in our walk becomes based on our own thoughts and emotions. Our imagination, which we have to elevate. Our experiences become authoritative. Our feelings and emotions become our measure of truth. And if you can't tell, this is a dangerous way to live. Now, are our thoughts and imaginations, our experiences, our feelings, emotions, are these things just simply bad? By no means. Not in their proper place. But when we elevate them to a place where our ultimate measure and determiner of truth, then they are dangerous. Because then we're giving them the place of authority in our life that belongs to God's Word. Because we and our entire beings are to be submitted to the authority of God's Word and the Bible. And so this approach, which diminishes the authority of God's Word in our lives and heightens our trust in our own perceptions and evaluations, provides a clear path for us to just carry right on being our own gods. And we can do this all under the guise of being spiritual. And why is this? Because the fruit that flows from this approach is that we put ourselves in a position where we're above correction or reproof. We remain the center of our universe, with God and everybody else submitted to us. We harden our hearts towards God's correction, His voice in the Bible, because we come up with our own authority structure, which has us at the top of the food chain. Consequently, we reject the correction of the Spirit through the Word, and we certainly don't accept correction from other Christians either. This mindset is a successful pathway for walking in spiritual pride, and it makes for a great cover-up to just keep on doing whatever we want to do. This approach leads us to look everywhere except the Bible in order to try and hear God's voice through His Spirit. And it reveals that we have a faulty understanding of who the Spirit even is. Because the Spirit is the divine author of the Bible. He is our teacher through the Bible. And He's the one who gives us understanding in the Bible. And yet, the other approach, to seemingly overemphasize the Bible to the neglect of the Holy Spirit, is equally as concerning. With this approach, we in essence elevate the Bible to the point where we live as though the Trinity is God the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible. This is also incorrect. It misses the entire point of Scripture, which is to lead us to Jesus. Scripture, doctrine, understanding of the Bible, it's all intended to direct us towards Jesus, to point our eyes toward Him. So that we worship Him, so that we relate rightly to Him, and so that we enjoy fellowship with Him in our lives. This is because as Jesus is lifted up, as we look at Him and behold Him, He makes known to us God the Father. And so the Bible isn't an end in itself. It's a means to an end, who is God. The Bible is what God's given us so that we might know Him in relationship through His Son and by His Holy Spirit. So both of these approaches are wrong. Why? Because the reality is that the Holy Spirit and the Bible work together inseparably. It isn't either the Holy Spirit or the Bible. It's both and. It's the Holy Spirit and the Bible. It's the Bible and the Holy Spirit. One without the other leads to a dysfunctional Christianity. And this is why we need a proper biblical understanding of the relationship between God, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible. And so when we come to the Bible and we read about the relationship between the Spirit and the Word of God, we see that there's an intimate connection. In fact, the Holy Spirit is the divine author of the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, a well-known verse, we read that all Scripture is breathed out by God. All Scripture is breathed out by God. And technically, when this verse was first written, it was referring specifically to the Old Testament. This is because at the time Paul wrote, the New Testament hadn't even been completed the way we have it now. However, there are other passages which show us that the New Testament is inspired in the same way as well. So it's faithful for us to say that the whole Bible is breathed out or inspired by God. But what does this mean? What does it mean? In this verse, the Greek word translated as breathed out by God is theopneustos. Some versions will say inspired. But what this word's communicating is the idea that God exhaled, God breathed out, and all of Scripture came out of His mouth. The emphasis here isn't so much on the way that He communicated to us through the human authors. Rather, it's on the fact that God Himself is the source of what's written in the Bible. And so the point Paul's making in this passage is that the ultimate origin of the Bible is in God Himself. He breathed it out. It's His speech. It's His word. And this is important because it reveals that God doesn't just act and let people respond by simply putting forth their own view of what God has done. Rather, God works by His Holy Spirit to superintend the recording of Scripture to ensure that what's written is His word. It's His word. And this is known as the doctrine of inspiration. And this refers to the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit by which He superintended the writing process of the entire Bible, the Old Testament and New Testament, so that all the words and every part of the original manuscripts were at the same time the words of the human authors and the very words of God. The Holy Spirit ensured the accuracy and integrity of what's written. And at the same time, the human authors wrote with their own vocabulary and style and personality. And Peter affirms this in his epistle, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, this is what he says. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This passage teaches that when we read Scripture, what we're reading doesn't merely come from men, but from God. The men who wrote the biblical books weren't just inventing things. They weren't just making things up according to their own wills and imagination. They spoke from God. This means that what they say isn't merely from their own limited perspective. Rather, they are vessels through whom God communicates His truth and meaning. We need to understand this correctly as well. This doesn't mean that God just dictated everything through them like they were robots, sitting there mindlessly writing whatever God told them to say. No, they were real living people in real historical times, and they wrote according to their own historical settings and their own vocabulary, according to their own style and personality. And yet, God, by His Holy Spirit, carried them along. God did this in such a way that not only is it true that what they spoke is from God, but it's true that how they spoke it is from God as well. God didn't simply reveal His truth to the writers of Scripture and then leave them to it, hoping that they would somehow manage to accurately write it down. Rather, Peter says that in the very communication of God's word, these men were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The recording of the Bible wasn't merely left to human skills of communication. The Holy Spirit Himself carried the process to completion. God, the Holy Spirit, was intimately involved in the recording of the Bible. God was pleased to use the language and style of men and to carry them along by His Holy Spirit in order to give His very word to us in the Bible. And so the authorship of the Bible is dual. It's written by both God and men. And Jesus spoke to His apostles about this inspiration or guiding along of the Holy Spirit that would take place in and through them as well. This is in John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. And this is what Jesus says to His apostles. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. Jesus says that the Spirit will guide them into all truth. Not that they don't already have truth, which they've received from Jesus, but rather the Spirit will guide them into the fullness of truth. He will lead them into a full realization of Christ's person and the teachings that He's already laid down for them. The Spirit doesn't present an independent message differing from what they've already learned from Christ. And we know this because Jesus says the Holy Spirit will not, we'll listen carefully to this one, will not speak on His own authority. Will not. Will not. Rather, what He hears, He will speak. What He hears, He will speak and declare to them things that are to come. These are important statements from Jesus about the Holy Spirit, about His role, especially in light of what people believe about the Spirit today. Now here we see that the Spirit's role isn't to speak forth new material that's of His own accord. Rather, He speaks what He hears within His inner Trinitarian relationship with the Father and the Son. His role to the apostles specifically involved leading them into the fullness of this message, even revealing to them the outworking of God's plan in Christ into the future. He will declare to you the things to come. And we now have this full revelation of God in our Bible. And it came to us by the Holy Spirit and through the prophets and apostles. And Jesus then teaches us something else significant about the Spirit's role in the following two verses of this passage. In John 16, verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. The Spirit's role is to glorify Jesus. His role isn't to glorify Himself. It's not to draw attention to Himself. His role is to exalt Jesus. It's to make much of Jesus and to get us to fix our eyes upon Him. And we know from Scripture that Jesus' role in turn is to glorify and make known to us the Father. This is one reason why the Spirit doesn't get a lot of attention, because that's not His purpose. He interprets and applies the character and teaching of Christ, and he makes Jesus central in our thinking. Without question, we ought to recognize that the Spirit is fully and equally God with the Father and the Son. One God, three persons. And we ought to recognize his nearness to us as Christians, that he dwells in us, that he teaches us, he empowers us, he comforts us, and so much more. However, we need to be mindful to keep our understanding of who the Spirit is and what he does within the bounds of the Bible. Jesus says the Spirit will take what's his and declare it or make it known to the apostles, and consequently to us through them. And he says that what is his is the Father's, because all that the Father has is his. Again, the Spirit doesn't come declaring truth of his own accord. He declares that which is the Son's, and that which is the Son's is the Father's. Therefore, we know that what we receive from the Spirit is from God himself. And this ought to give us great confidence in the truth we have in our Bibles. And this is why it's so backwards to hear someone talk about how they seek to hear the voice of the Spirit everywhere except in the Bible. Because when we do this, we're doing something the Bible doesn't even tell us to do. The Holy Spirit has spoken to us, and he's done so in the Bible, the written word of God. So if we want to hear him, we do well to go where he's spoken. And we know that he's spoken here because God says that he's spoken here. If God says that he's done something, then he's done it. So if we want to hear God, we can hear him in his word. And further, when we understand that God, by his Holy Spirit, is the source of all that's written in the Bible, this also teaches us something significant about the meaning of all that's written in the Bible. Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. This is what he says. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. This passage tells us about the meaning of what's in the Bible. Peter says we need to know, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. Peter here isn't suggesting that only prophetic parts of Scripture are inspired, but rather the prophetic word itself. He's speaking about the whole Bible. The whole Bible is inspired. And therefore, the meaning of all that's written in the Bible isn't based upon the interpretation of any individual, not based on of your interpretation, not based on my interpretation. The meaning is from God. And so this means that when we read the Bible, its meaning isn't based upon how we feel or what we think today. It's based upon what God intends. The Bible is God's word. And so therefore the meaning of this word is what God intends it to mean. This is the basis for why we can't just come to the Scripture and try to make it say whatever we want it to say. This is why we shouldn't approach the Bible in a cavalier fashion, that we just think we open it up and somehow understand God's intended meaning by reading it through our own interpretation. God communicated his word through particular people at particular times. And he did so thousands of years before our country and culture even existed. And this means that for us to understand the meaning in God's word, it's going to require humility. Why is that? Because the meaning of Scripture has its origin in God. That is to say, every portion of the Bible means what God intends it to mean. The meaning of Scripture isn't based on our interpretation, but it's based on what God intends it to be. So the best way for me to explain this is to say that Scripture has one meaning, But there can be many faithful applications of this meaning. This is to say that the one God-intended meaning of a particular passage in the Bible can be faithfully applied in our lives in many different ways, though the truth or meaning of the passage remains the same. This is important to understand because when God superintended the writing of the Scriptures by His Holy Spirit, He didn't just set things up as a free-for-all. He didn't make it so that any person on any given day could come to it and just say, well, to me, this means da-da-da, and now their interpretation is authoritative. That's not how it works. In the same way, we need to understand that there can be bad and unfaithful applications of biblical texts. We cannot apply passages in our lives however we like and just think anything goes. The Holy Spirit doesn't give us like a blank check, as it were, you know, in relation to applying the biblical texts. You know, so we can just go ahead and apply them however we like and He'll sign off on that. It doesn't work that way. There are bad applications and misapplications of biblical passages, and we ought to reject them. But this requires discernment given to us by the Holy Spirit. This requires maturity in our understanding of God's Word in order to be able to recognize this. And so all of this highlights that being faithful to God's Word in the Spirit doesn't come without any commitment from us. It requires prayer, diligent study, requires humility, discipline, wise counsel. And to some, this may be annoying, may even sound wrong. You may think you actually disagree with what I've just said. But you don't really disagree. Allow me to show you why you don't disagree. Because you don't just listen to any interpretation of the Bible that someone else throws at you and then immediately start living as though that's authoritative for your life. Now, that's how cults start, but that's not how any of you interpret the Bible. I promise you, that's not how any of you interpret the Bible. Why? Because there is correct meaning. There is correct application. But the real problem that we have is not with acknowledging that there's one God-intended meaning in particular passages of Scripture. The problem we have is with letting go of the interpretations that we want to be true. The problem for most of us is submitting our own wrong interpretations to what God actually says in His Word. Why is that? Because so often what God requires of us in His Word is contrary to how we act, how we think, what we want to do. And God says, submit to me. We do like to be Lord of our own lives, though. But God won't have this. If we're His children, then for our good, He will humble us over and over and over and over. And I could go on again. By revealing to us the truth of His Word by His Holy Spirit. And we see this explicitly in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. If you want to, let's turn there together. You know, topical sermons, you have like a million passages, so we've been all over the show. But let's, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Praise the Lord. In this passage, we see that just as the Holy Spirit is intimately involved in the recording of the Scriptures, He's also intimately involved in enabling us to understand them. Don't miss that. Just like He's intimately involved in the recording of the Scriptures, He's intimately involved in enabling us to understand them. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. It says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. The apostles' words were taught by the Spirit. And understanding of these spiritual truths which they imparted is only available to those who have the Spirit of God. They are truths from the Spirit of God because they were taught by him. And they are also only understood through him because they are spiritually discerned. This is why those who don't have the Holy Spirit do not accept the truths that come from him, and why they cannot understand them. This passage brings the work of the Holy Spirit into plain view for us. We're told that unbelievers, those who do not have the Holy Spirit, do not accept the things from the Spirit and cannot understand them. The Bible's ultimate message is a bunch of meaningless words strung together to the unbeliever. This is why many unbelieving scholars can interact with the Bible and it's nothing more than a text from history to them. Unless the Spirit moves in those who don't believe, and unless the Spirit moves in us, we do not accept the things from him in the Bible and we cannot understand them. The Spirit alone gives understanding to those who belong to him. We cannot rightly understand the Bible by our own interpretation. So we see that primarily God has given us his Spirit, who is our teacher, to enable us to rightly understand his word. He leads us into all truth, just as he did the apostles. Yet in God's sovereignty and by his grace, he's also put us in the community of the church, who are also indwelt with the Holy Spirit. In the church, we are to be taught God's word. We're to be corrected, encouraged, exhorted, and so on. We need all of these things to grow to maturity in the faith, and they also safeguard us from error. And further, God's also given us church history, which allows us to draw upon what the church, who were also indwelt by the Holy Spirit, has historically believed and taught about who God is and what he says about himself and his word. And so all of this helps to ensure that we don't run off into error based upon our own interpretations or those of someone else. Sorry for all the individualists out there. Biblically speaking, meaning is to be established in community and not in the individual. In the community and not in the individual. It's not all about us. Tony said that earlier. It's not all about what we think or we want or we decide. It's all about God. It's about who he is and what he's done and what he's said about it in his word. And we are to submit to him. Now, from this brief observation of God's word, some of you are like, yeah, right. Hashtag, yeah, right. From this brief observation of God's word, I get to say that because I decide whether it's brief or not, I guess. We can see that there's an intimate relationship between God, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible. Having a proper understanding of this relationship impacts the way we think about and interact with the Bible. It helps us to see that the Christian life isn't the Holy Spirit versus the Bible. We don't need to decide between whether we read the Bible or seek the Holy Spirit as though they are two mutually exclusive realities. Rather, the Holy Spirit is at work in us as we read the Bible, transforming us by the renewing of our minds. Through God's Word, the Spirit reveals to us more of who God is in Jesus and who we now are in him. And he empowers us to live in the light of our new identity and life in Christ. There's this beautiful God-ordained harmony between the Holy Spirit and the Bible. And this is a God-given gift to us who believe. God is pleased to use His Word by His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit through His Word to draw us closer to Himself and to conform us and make us more like His Son, Jesus. What a glorious truth it is that we can open up our Bibles at any moment on any day and hear God's voice speaking to us through the intimate interaction of His Holy Spirit. What a glorious truth it is. So, what are the takeaways from this message? Firstly, we can walk away knowing that we can put such emphasis on the Bible, we can study it with such vigor and seek to know it in such depth and detail, and we can do so whilst sharing completely in the intimacy of interacting with the Holy Spirit, not to the neglect of the Spirit. We can seek to be diligent to know all of God's Word from cover to cover. We can interact with Old and New Testament. We can hear the full breadth and range of God's voice to us by His Holy Spirit by chewing over Leviticus, sitting down in Job, diving into the Psalms. We don't have to camp out in specific sections of the Bible and limit our reading to them. Rather, we can embrace the teaching of Scripture from every inch, from every nook and cranny of this book, because it's all for our benefit. It's all breathed out by God. And as we interact with it, we'll hear Him speak by His Holy Spirit in ways we probably haven't heard Him speak before. Yet, this also underscores the discipline that's required. We don't read through all of God's Word without any effort on our part. If we did, hey, everybody would be doing it. Like osmosis, just put it under my pillow. Yep, all good. Doesn't work like that. And if it does, let me know. I don't think it does. No, I haven't. It's true, you can't knock it till you try a day, that's the saying. But I'm knocking it anyway, so I guess I broke that rule too. But yes, where were we? Yes. We're forced to stop before God in prayer. When we read through all of Scripture, we come to difficult things. We're forced to stop to pray. We're forced to go and talk to more mature believers and ask them to help us to understand what God's saying in His Word. We're put in positions where we need to think about, well, how does this little part, how does Job relate to the entire message of the entire Bible? Why should I read about Job? Now, why should I read all the Psalms? How do they relate to this whole story in the Bible? These are questions we have to ask and answer when we actually read the entirety of this book. And these are good problems to have. And I pray that we have these problems in increasing measure. Some of you don't want me to pray that, but that's my hope. Secondly, we can walk away with great confidence that what's recorded in the Bible is what God intends to communicate to us. What He wants to say, He said it. God is the source of His Word. He superintended the writing of the original manuscripts by His Holy Spirit. And not only this, but He saw fit to faithfully preserve His Word for us. All these thousands of years later, we still have thousands of manuscripts and portions of manuscripts in the original languages that attest to the legitimacy of the Word of God that we have in our English Bibles. Praise the Lord. The man who first translated the Bible into English died, got burned alive. So praise the Lord for his life so that we actually have it in our language today. Now, thirdly, this calls us to great humility. Why? For starters, the Bible was originally written in Hebrew and Greek and some small portions in Aramaic. Anybody know those? I studied Greek for 2 years. I'm not an expert on Greek. So we need somebody to translate the Bible for us into our own language, I think. Unless any of you can pick it up overnight, we need someone to translate it for us. And even when it's translated into our own language, we need to then take the time to study it, to understand what it's saying to us. In humility, we must all accept the discipline of learning to read the Bible. We all need to grow in our own we all need to grow in our discipline to be able to draw out the meaning of the Bible that God has put in there rather than reading our own ideas into it. And this isn't a walk in the park for us. Now listen to what the Apostle Peter says. This is what Peter says about the writings of the Apostle Paul. This might knock your socks off for some of you. Listen to what Peter says about the writings of Paul. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, Jaden's thinking, you can't knock somebody's socks off, but whatever, bro. No, no. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. Listen to this. There are some things in them that are hard to understand. There are some things in Paul's letters that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. Peter got real at the end there. But they're hard to understand. We'll focus on that part. They're hard to understand. Peter says some of Paul's writings are hard to understand. So there's diligence involved on our part as well. But God's promised us as believers that because we have his Spirit, we can understand his divine revelation in the Bible. Similarly to finding gold in this earth, we need to dig deeply into God's word with patience and perseverance to draw out the gold he has for us in this book by his Holy Spirit. And to aid us in this journey, God's also given us, as I've mentioned earlier, mature brothers and sisters in the faith to disciple us in his word. Further still, he's given us teachers in his body, those whom he's gifted and qualified to teach his word. This is so that we can learn from them and grow to greater maturity in the faith. We need to bear in mind that this isn't just some glamorous role, you know, teaching. It comes with great responsibility. As God says in James chapter 3, verse 1, not many should become teachers because they'll be judged more strictly. Not many should become teachers because they will be judged more strictly. With this in mind, we who teach should be especially diligent to ensure that all we say is actually grounded in the Bible and biblically accurate. But if you know that this is the approach your teachers have, then you can trust that as you learn under them, you'll be further safeguarded from error and further equipped to rightly interpret and study the Bible yourself. Praise the Lord. Fourth and finally, brief. And this relates to your personal process of reading the Bible. Pray. Pray. I always pray that God would open our or my eyes to see, ears to hear, heart and mind to understand what he said in his word. And this isn't for repetition's sake. It's not because I couldn't think of a better prayer to pray. It's because of the fact that if God doesn't do this by his Holy Spirit, then I and we won't take anything of any value away from his word. That's why I pray it. So ask God to open your eyes to understand his word. Ask him to reveal to you the truth in his word as you read your Bible. And for the sake of continuing to grow and get deeper in God's word and get his word deeper into you, I encourage you to pray scripture itself. Pray the word. This is a great way to get the truth of the Bible inside you, washing over you, nourishing you day by day. And so, if we know the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that this is where God wants to speak to us day by day, then we need to rightly value God's word and also to recognize its authority over us. We need to be diligent to study it with discipline and submit to what it says. Study it with discipline and submit to what it says. Jesus says, if you hear my words and do not put them into practice, you are a foolish builder. The wise builder is the one who hears the word and puts it into practice. So diligent to study with discipline and submit to what it says. We ought to be confident in the teachings that are in it, that they are from God, superintended by the Holy Spirit. Every word that's in the original manuscripts, nothing was left to chance. God oversaw it all and made sure that it's all what he wants to communicate about who he is. So be confident that this word is from God, it's unchanging, it's authoritative for every facet of our lives. We need to be humble in our approach to Scripture, recognizing that without the Holy Spirit illuminating the word to us, we cannot understand it as we ought to. And we need to be people of prayer, asking God to teach us every time we open our Bibles. Because if he doesn't, then the best we're going to do is take nothing out of it. But the worst we're going to do is live after our own incorrect interpretations. And Peter got pretty real about that. Ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. That's pretty real if you missed it. 2 Peter 3:15-16. By God's grace, may we be people who are diligent to draw out God's intended meaning from his word as it's revealed to us by his Holy Spirit, and in turn, may he continually make us more sensitive to hearing his voice in the word and being submissive to do what he says. Amen. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for these truths we've thought about tonight. Thank you that you did indeed superintend the writing of the Bible by your Holy Spirit so that what is recorded is exactly what you want to say about who you are and what you've done. Thank you that it is indeed your word. Humble us, Lord, where our hearts are still proud, where we still want to do things our own way and live as our own gods. Humble us before your word. Oh Lord, encourage us by your Spirit to draw near to you through the word. Help us to love your word. I think about the Old Testament, the Psalms. I love your law, and on it I meditate day and night. Help us to love your word, Lord, because it directs us to you. Help us to love your word, to meditate on it day and night. Transform us through your word, Lord. Lord, and humble us. Lord, humble us that we would come to you in prayer, recognizing that we bring nothing. We can't interpret one iota of your word ourselves. We need your Holy Spirit. We need you. And thank you that you have given us all we need in Christ. You've given us your Spirit. Lord, we just give you thanks tonight. May this truth open our eyes. May this truth soften our hearts. May we have a new understanding of the relationship between your Spirit and your word that's true, that's biblically grounded, and ultimately that draws us closer to you, that we may know you more and live in your ways. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.